11. Tariana.
Did you know?
Gibson asked. Tariana shook her head, blood still boiling hot over Marcus pulling such a stunt, though she wasn't certain if she was angrier about him nearly getting himself killed or him taking more than half of the treasure that belonged in the pockets of the Erinoquians. Did you? The 37th Primus shook his head.
Nope. But when it comes to the twisty political parts of command, I'm the last person he's going to confide in.
Gibson laughed.
When it comes to the twisty political bits, he doesn't confide in much of anyone until the deal is done. Never been quite sure whether it's because he enjoys the power of having secrets or whether he's just that distrustful of the rest of us, though he typically keeps Felix in the fold.
He gave her a sideways glance, hazel eyes thoughtful.
Yet it looked to me as though the Tribunus was just as shocked as anyone to see that gold come wheeling into camp.
Given I've been locked in a room, valuing treasure for days, I've no notion of who Marcus has or has not spoken to, she snapped. Her body ached, and she was exhausted from little sleep and afraid of what she was going to find when she reached the medical tent. And I'm not all that interested in talking about him anyway.
How quickly the hero who risked his own neck, as well as the necks of all these men,
Gibson spread his arms at the surrounding camp,
to save you is forgotten.
If only that were the case.
By way of warning, Quintus is being difficult.
Gibson's jaw tightened beneath his tawny brown skin.
That's why I'll be going in with you. When he gets in these sorts of moods, he's dangerous.
I'll go alone. They were her friends, and they'd been injured protecting her. There were things she needed to say that she didn't want Gibson listening to. If there's trouble, I'll call for you. Gibson snorted.
Quintus could kill you before you had the chance to scream, Tariana. It's only because he's injured that I'm allowing you near him at all.
Her pulse sped, because though she knew Quintus was as trained as any of them, it felt strange to call the smiling, laughing young man she knew dangerous. Please.
Shit, Tariana.
Gibson scrubbed a hand over his shorn black hair.
If I let you get hurt, Marcus will have the skin whipped off my back. Don't think that he won't.
Tell him I insisted.
Prisoners don't get to insist.
The Primus said the words under his breath, but Tariana still heard, and still flinched at the reminder of what she was to the cell. Which was possibly a good thing, because it reminded her of what they were supposed to be to her. How had things become so complicated?
Do I need to bribe you to make this happen?
She asked, reaching into her pocket for some of her gambling earnings. But she paused as his eyes darkened, realizing her misstep too late. The Primus was a murderer and not entirely right in the head, but he was also intensely loyal to the 37th and to Marcus. Sorry. He glared at her.
I'm going to pretend you didn't do that. And allow you to go in by yourself. But don't say I didn't warn you.
Pulling open the flap of the big tent before he changed his mind, Tariana stepped inside. The first thing that struck her was the smell. Sweat and blood and piss and shit mixed in with alcohol and tonics and medicines. And over it all, the sickly sweet scent of decay. She bit down on the insides of her cheeks, trying to keep her stomach contents in check as her eyes danced over the rows and rows of injured young men. Some were unconscious on their cots, but others stared at the white canvas above them, their eyes glazed with the narcotics used to numb their pain. Blood-stained bandages and missing limbs and splinted bones. Catastrophic injuries. The injuries of war. Several of the medics looked up as she entered, nodding at her before going back to their tasks. But her eyes went immediately to the center of the space, where Quintus slumped on a stool next to the cot Mickey rested on, the young legionnaire propped upright by pillows. Quintus had his cheek resting on Mickey's lap, the other young man stroking his hair. There were faint creases at the corners of Mickey's vibrant blue eyes that hadn't been there before, and her chest tightened. Not young any longer. As she approached, Mickey turned his head, a smile rising to his lips.
Good to see you, Tariana.
Quintus jerked upright, turning to look at her, and the anger twisting his face made her take a step back.
What do you want?
I wanted to see how you were, she said, taking in his injuries. He was stripped down to the undergarments the legionnaires wore beneath their tunics, his naked shoulders and chest wrapped with bandages. Running her tongue over her still healing lip, she added,
And I wanted to thank you for what you did.
Then I suppose you've accomplished what you came for.
Quintus's voice was barely recognizable.
Now go.
You're being an ass.
Mickey coughed, lifting a hand to cover his mouth as he cleared his throat.
It's not her fault. If you can't be nice, be silent. If you can't be silent, why don't you get some air?
I'm not leaving you.
I'll be fine. Go find me something better to eat than the broth the medics are forcing down my throat.
Quintus's jaw worked back and forth.
Fine.
Rising from the stool, he leaned over Mickey, kissing him once on the forehead, then again on the lips.
I won't be long.
He pushed past Tariana, heading toward the entrance of the tent.
Apologies.
Mickey motioned to the vacant stool.
He's upset and taking it out on everyone he crosses paths with.
I don't blame him. She sat on the stool, toying with the blanket draped over Mickey's legs. Servius had said that he wasn't able to move them, that the surgeon believed his back was broken, paralyzing him from the waist down. Working up her courage, she lifted her face to meet his gaze, searching for the changes the corrupted had wrought upon her friend. Immediately, she understood why no one had yet demanded an explanation from her, other than the faint creases around his eyes and mouth and a few glints of silver in his short red hair. His pale, freckled face appeared almost the same. It was only because she knew what the corrupted could do that Tariana recognized the changes for what they were. Mickey, physically, was no longer a 19-year-old boy, but a man closer to 30. Tell him. It was the right thing to do, but the consequences.
You look like shit, Mickey finally said, like someone used your face for sparring practice.
Not inaccurate. Exhaling, she said, I'm sorry for what happened, Mickey. I hope you don't think I had anything to do with it. I'd never. She trailed off. Because wasn't that exactly what she was supposed to be doing? Sabotaging the cell legions? Getting enough of them killed that Marcus was forced to retreat?
I don't.
Reaching out, he took her hand, his palm calloused from a lifetime of holding weapons.
I saw you pick up Quintus's weapon and fight. Saw the look on your face. We might not be on the same side in all of this, Tariana. But I know that you weren't responsible for that ambush.
Doesn't appear that Quintus is like-minded.
It's not that.
Mickey let go of her hand, resting his head back against the pillows, and Tariana's chest tightened as tears gleamed in his eyes.
Surgeon made the call earlier today. I'm not going to get better. I'm never going to walk again, and that means I'm never going to fight again.
And if he couldn't fight, he wasn't any good to the legions.
The day after tomorrow, I'm being put on a ship destined for that island where the Quincense is moored. The island where they keep
the cripples.
He rubbed his eyes angrily, but one tear escaped to run down his cheek.
The day after tomorrow, I'll no longer be part of the 37th.